Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you as we gather together on this Sunday, this Pentecost Sunday, to worship and praise the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is good seeing you all here this morning. I just want to take a time to just inform you to please read your church bulletin so that you can stay abreast of what's coming as we approach our summer months. We will, one of the things to please take note of is the July 16th date, July 16th through the 18th. That is going to be our vacation Bible school. That time will be upon us very quickly. We are still looking for people who want to participate as teachers and other helpers. So if the Lord places that upon your heart, you can see Desiree Kitt or Kate Frank. So they can get you squared away to participate. But that's going to be on July the 18th. One of the highlights of the summer is the opportunity that we have to interface with children in this community. And so we look forward to doing that this summer as well. So please mark that down on your calendar. Of course, there are other things that will be going on here at Olney Presbyterian Church. Please take the time to check your bulletin again and also go to the church website to stay abreast of all that is happening here at Olney Presbyterian Church. Our first reading this morning comes from the book of Acts. It is the traditional Pentecost reading from the second chapter of the book of Acts. We'll be reading from verse 1 through verse 21, which is on page 948 of your Pew Bibles. So this time, let us listen to God's word for us. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly a sound came from heaven like the rush of a mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire, distributed and resting on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered because each one heard them speaking in his own language. And they were amazed and wondered, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language? Parthians and Medes, Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians. We hear them telling in our own tongue, in their own tongues, the mighty works of God." And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others, mocking, said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and give ear to my words. For these men are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken to the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Yea, and on my men servants and my maid servants in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above with signs on the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and manifest day. And it shall be that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Our gospel reading this morning will come from the Gospel of John. We'll be reading from the 15th chapter of John's Gospel, verses 26 through 27, and then we'll move over to chapter 16 and pick up the reading at verse 4 and read through verse 15. So again, let us listen to God's word for us. But when the Counselor comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness to me, and you also are witnesses, because you have been with me from the beginning. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you, but now I am going to him who sent me. Yet none of you asked me, where are you going? But because I said these things to you, sorrow has filled your hearts. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convince the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you will see me no more. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. The word of the Lord. Last Sunday, we heard Jesus praying for his followers as he was preparing them for life in his absence. But even that he was looking forward to his looming death and resurrection and ascension into heaven, he promises his disciples that they will not be alone, that they will receive his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, as they carry on his work in the world. And that's what this Sunday is about. It is about the gift of the Holy Spirit, the gift that is given to God's people. Pentecost comes from the Greek word which means 50, and it is 50 days from Passover. Pentecost for Jews was the great spring festival, and it was a festival where many people would have been into Jerusalem to celebrate not only Pentecost, but also from the Passover. So many people were there in Pentecost, but we are told that that's when the Holy Spirit falls upon the Lord's disciples. Pentecost, of course, is not the first time that the Holy Spirit comes to fall on people. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit often fell, but it was usually restricted to just a few people, the prophets, and the Spirit empowered them to be able to speak God's truth in the midst of the world. And it was one prophet in particular, the prophet Joel, who prophesied that in the last days, God was going to pour God's Spirit out, not just on one person, not just on a few people, but God was going to pour God's Spirit out upon all flesh. And that's what happens at Pentecost. The Holy Spirit falls on the community of Jesus' followers, huddled together as they were in the upper room. People pretty much like us, a diverse collection of people, from all over the empire. But they were there in the upper room, behind locked doors, afraid, unsure. But then suddenly there's the rushing of the wind and tongues of fire, and before you know it, this collection of ordinary people are pushed out into the streets as a powerful witness to the Lord Jesus Christ, a powerful witness of what God is doing in the world. We can say a lot about the Holy Spirit this morning. The Holy Spirit, of course, is the Spirit of life, new life. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. But one of the things I like about the Spirit, one of the things that impresses me about the Spirit in our Pentecost reading this morning, is that the Spirit is the Spirit that helps God's people to find their voice. The Spirit is the Spirit that empowers God's people to be able to speak. It's the Spirit that helps them and the whole community to be able to prophesy. And that's part of what it happens on that first Pentecost. You know, sometimes you read about the events in the Bible and you say to yourself, I wish I could have been there when that took place. I wish I would have been able to see that. I wish I would have been present when that took place. And that's the way I feel at Pentecost. I wish I could have been there at that first Pentecost. Not just because of the special effects, but I wish I could have been there to see how the Holy Spirit transformed that early Christian community into a people on fire for God in the world. I wish I could have been there to see the Holy Spirit fall on all flesh that was there in the upper room. I can imagine that there were people there, followers of Jesus who were there, people who considered themselves to be past their prime, people who considered themselves to be too old, people who considered themselves to be people too old to be able to contribute much of anything. But then the Spirit begins to blow, and the Spirit begins to blow on them, and before it's all over, they are able to prophesy. Before it's all over, they are able to dream. Before it's all over, they have new vigor and new energy and new zeal for the mission of God. I imagine there were women there who had always heard that women were not supposed to be preachers, that they were supposed to be seen but not heard. And then the Spirit begins to blow, and before it's all over, these women are out there in the square, and they are proclaiming the word of God, and they are prophesying. I imagine there were young people there who were convinced that they didn't have anything important to say because they didn't have any experience. I imagine there were people who were too timid and too afraid to ever say anything because they didn't have the right credentials or they didn't have the right education. But then the Spirit begins to blow, and when the Spirit blows, it sends them all out into the square, and they begin to proclaim, they begin to prophesy, each in their own language so that everyone could understand. They're all speaking different languages, but they have the same message, the message of truth, the message about God's love, the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because that's what the Spirit does. It helps God's people to be able to find their voice. I wish I could have been there to have seen that. It had to have been an awesome sight. But the text tells us that not everyone was impressed, not everyone was open to the movement of the Holy Spirit. In fact, there were some people who saw what was going on, and they believed that people had been drinking. The people must be drunk. That's what they said. People must be drunk. They must be inebriated. Jesus talked about the unpardonable sin, blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. To blaspheme the Holy Spirit is to clearly see the manifestations of the Holy Spirit and attribute it to something else, something profane, something base. And that's what some of the people are doing on that first Pentecost. They come dangerously close to blaspheming the Holy Spirit. But then it's Peter himself. You remember Peter who was too afraid to acknowledge Jesus. Peter who went and hid and denied Jesus. Now Peter, under the power of the Holy Spirit, finds his voice, and Peter says, "No, these people are not drunk. No, they're not inebriated. This is the power of God. This is the power of the Holy Spirit. This is the power of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. These people are not drunk. It's the Holy Spirit being poured out. Being poured out on all flesh." Just as God had promised. We can say a few things about the Holy Spirit this morning, things that need to be said. First of all, the Holy Spirit is the comforter. That's what Jesus tells us in our gospel lesson this morning. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit that comes alongside of us. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit that comes into our midst to comfort us. But the Spirit is not just a comforter, but the Spirit is also just as likely to shake things up and disturb things around than it is to bring us comfort. The fact is that if you are comfortable with the way things are, if you are settled and into your routines, if you don't want to see any kind of change, chances are you're going to feel threatened by the Holy Spirit. Because that's what the Spirit comes into the world to do. Not just to comfort us, but to shake us up. Not just to give us warm feelings, but to galvanize us, to agitate us, to send us out into the world. That's what the Spirit does. It shakes things up. And so if all you want is comfort from the Holy Spirit, you're going to be threatened when the Spirit begins to blow. Second, the Holy Spirit's job is not to protect us from trouble. That's what some people believe, that the Holy Spirit comes to get us out of our jams. The Holy Spirit comes to get us out of trouble. But when the Holy Spirit falls upon us, it's more likely to get you into trouble than it is to get you out of trouble. Jesus had the Holy Spirit all over him, and immediately it got him into trouble. That's what he says in Luke's gospel. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to send me to proclaim the good news to the poor, the good news to the broken, and it immediately got him into trouble. Even in his own hometown, people wanted to stone him. And that was true of the Lord's earliest disciples too, when the Holy Spirit fell upon them, when they moved under the power of the Spirit, when they were guided by the Spirit. It didn't mean that they had an easy, trouble-free life. It often meant a life of trouble, because the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. And truth, whenever it's proclaimed, will often get you in some kind of trouble. I love that little song that we sometimes sing, Spirit of the Living God, fall afresh on me. But be careful what you ask for, be careful what you sing for, because when the Spirit falls, it's more likely going to lead you into a little bit of trouble with the world. Third, some people believe that the Holy Spirit is the exclusive preserve of the church. But of course it isn't. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God, and it's the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit doesn't so much belong to us, but we belong to the Spirit. We are people of the Spirit. The Bible tells us that the Spirit blows where it will, and it sometimes the Spirit blows right past God's people. In fact, sometimes the places where you might expect to find the Spirit blowing, it's not blowing there because it's been shut down by hard hearts. And sometimes the people in places you might not expect to be open to the Spirit are the very places that the Spirit is blowing. Because the Spirit blows where it will. And wherever people are being taken care of, wherever people are being reconciled to one another, wherever the hungry are being fed, wherever the naked are being clothed, wherever people are being treated with dignity and respect and justice, wherever truth is proclaimed, you can be sure that the Spirit is blowing. And so the Spirit blows where it will. And we're reminded this morning that in the last days, that God has promised to pour out His Spirit on all flesh. That's what the prophet Joel tells us. That's what Peter, quoting the prophet Joel, tells us. In the last days, your sons and your daughters will prophesy. And your old men will dream dreams. My mother constantly tells me every time I speak to her, she says, Randy, you know, we're living in the last days. She's convinced of that. I don't know if we're living in the last days or not, but I'm always on the lookout for manifestations of the Holy Spirit, both inside the church and outside of the church. And I have to say that I've been pretty impressed of late by some of the young people in our society, particularly some of the young people on those college campuses, all of the sons and daughters who've been prophesying against our country's complicity in the bloodletting going on, especially in the Middle East. Many of these young people are the best and the brightest. They're people who have bright futures ahead of them. They can do probably just about anything they want. Their futures are bright, and yet they're putting it all on the line. And it's interesting listening to people try to figure it out. What's gotten into these young people? Why are they doing this? Why are these young people putting their futures in the line? Why are they disrupting their education? Why are they so committed to fighting for peace and transparency? Why are they doing all of this? And all kinds of explanations are given. You know, it must be TikTok, it must be social media, it must be all these different things. And I'm sure some of that might have something to do with it. But I kind of think it's the Spirit. I think it's the blowing of the Holy Spirit. I think it's the promise of the Holy Spirit being poured out on all flesh. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. And that's what many of those young people are doing. They are prophesying. They're speaking words of truth, words about our violence and our willingness to be complicit in that and our willingness to look the other way and often give justification for it, even religious justification for it. It's been interesting to see some of the people who are against many of these young people, people my age, older, people with distinguished careers, people who are powerful, billionaires, administrative, college administration officials, titans of the press, politicians. They're all saying, you know, these young people are inebriated. They don't know what they're doing. They're filled with hatred. Are they're agents of foreign powers? They've got all kinds of excuses, but they're coming dangerously close, in my opinion, to blaspheming the Holy Spirit. Because I think that's what's going on. The Holy Spirit is blowing. Blowing among young people all over the world, people who want to see the violence stopped. I saw on YouTube where these two young kids were being interviewed in their encampment, Columbia University, and one of the students, she couldn't have been no more than 19 years old, and the interviewer was asking her about how things were going, and she was a little worried, you could tell. She said that she couldn't get back into her dorm and her meal card was no longer working and she didn't know if she was going to be expelled or not. But then she looked the camera right in front of the camera and she assumed one of those innocent and earnest looks of youth. And she smiled slightly and she said, "But we're not going to stop. We're not going to stop doing what we're doing. We're not going to stop because that's what the Spirit does. When the Spirit begins to blow, you can't shut it down. When the Spirit begins to blow, it doesn't make any difference how much power you have. When the Spirit begins to blow, it doesn't make any difference how many billions you have. When the Spirit begins to blow, it doesn't make any difference what kind of position you have. When the Spirit begins to blow, the Spirit blows, the Spirit of truth." And that's the Spirit that's blowing in the heart of many young people in our nation and in the world. The good news this morning is that we have not been left alone, that the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ is active and present, the Spirit of truth. And as God's people, we are called to not only be the people that has God's Spirit all over us, but we are called to keep track with the Spirit. We are called to follow the Spirit as the Spirit leads us. And the question for us every year is whether or not we will do that, whether or not we will be open to the Holy Spirit, or whether we will close God's Spirit down through the hardness of our hearts because We are threatened by it. But the Spirit blows where it will. And it continues to blow in the midst of our world. And it will blow either with us or without us. I just want to close with a poem that I found, a part of it. It's attributed to St. Francis of Assisi, but nobody really knows. But it's a poem and a prayer, a Pentecost prayer. And it says, Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is error, truth. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. Grant that I might not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, and to be loved as to love. When we open ourselves up to God's Spirit, that's exactly the transforming kind of life that we begin to live. When we open ourselves up to God's Spirit, we begin to walk in not our own ways, but we begin to walk in the way of truth and love. And that's what this Sunday is about. It's about God's Spirit being poured down upon all of us, upon all of God's people, upon all flesh, as we seek to bear witness to what God continues to do in the midst of this world. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit to move us, to change us, to empower us, to send us out into the world, to speak your truth, and most importantly, to live your truth. We thank you for how your Spirit is blowing even now among people that we might not have fathomed would be open to your Spirit before. We ask, Lord, that you continue to help us to be your faithful servants who move forward under the power of the Spirit, to be agents of healing, agents of love, agents of peace, and hope. You have reminded us on various occasions that often your work will be led by the little ones, that a child will lead them, that young people will lead. And so we thank you for all of those sons and daughters in our world who prophesy, who speak words of truth concerning the hardness of our hearts. And we thank you too for all of those older people who are able to dream, of a better world. And we thank you that your Spirit is still being poured out on all flesh. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.